I want to read again the text for the sermon tonight, and that's found in 2 Timothy 4, 1-8. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. It's my contention, congregation, that the pastor, the teaching elder of God's people, has the highest of all earthly callings. Now, that doesn't mean that I think pastors rank higher in the kingdom than other people. I think I've always found greater saints than myself in every congregation I've ever served. And don't forget, the Lord himself said, "He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward." Not talking about ranking in the kingdom. I'm talking about the awesome privilege and responsibility of the ministry of the gospel. And I want you to see this, first of all, from the fact that this charge that the Apostle Paul gives to Timothy, he gives in the very presence of the living God. He says, "I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom." Now, I don't know of any other vocation that is undertaken in such awesome circumstances and atmosphere as that. Now, we all ought to live all the time in everything we do with an eye on the judgment seat of Christ. We all have to stand there someday and answer for what we've done. But as far as I know, there is no other earthly calling in which the charge to that task is given in this awesome atmosphere. But it is so with the minister of the Word of God. When I think about that, I always think of our years in New Zealand. We were conscious as American citizens in New Zealand that we, in a certain sense, represented our nation. People knew we were Americans. They could always spot my wife's accent especially. And everything we did and everything we said was under scrutiny. And so, in a sense, we were unofficial ambassadors for this nation of ours. And we were responsible to represent it well. But you know, we didn't represent it to the same extent or to the same degree as the official United States ambassador who lived some miles away there in the Wellington area. He was officially sent to represent our nation. And it was his responsibility, far more than it was ours, to represent the interests of his nation faithfully. Now, that's why the Bible says we should not rush foolishly into this office of the ministry. Every one of you people here will have to answer someday before the judgment seat of Christ for everything you've done with every privilege he's ever given you and every opportunity he's ever given to you in spiritual things. But you won't have to answer for everybody else. But we will. We will not only have to answer for our own dealing with the gospel of the grace of God in terms of our own soul salvation, but we will have to answer for every one of you. Have we been faithful? Have we rightly divided the word of truth? Have we done our duty to the congregation of the Lord? Now, what is that duty? Well, our text says we are to preach the word in season and out of season. And the word, translated word in this text, is logos, that great master word in the Bible for the whole truth of God in its unity in the Bible. Now that's a great and formidable task, to preach the logos of God, the whole counsel of God, the whole system of doctrine. And we not only have to preach the whole counsel of God, but we also have to do it in terms of the constantly changing needs of the people of God. So one moment you got to be convincing somebody. The next minute you got to be rebuking somebody. And a little later on you have to exhort. And you have to do it with all long suffering, which means with endless patience, and you have to do it with sound and faithful doctrine. Some pastors are privileged to live in a time of great spiritual awakening and revival. Others, such as myself, over the past 40 years, have been called to labor in a time of spiritual drought. But it doesn't make any difference what those circumstances may be. You have to preach the word. And you have to do it out of season, just as faithfully as you would in season. And you have to do it with an intelligent understanding of exactly what the needs of the people are. The late, great Christian evangelist Francis Schaeffer once said that he learned that he had to spend 90% of his time convincing people that they were hell-deserving sinners, and 10% of his time presenting the good news of salvation by grace. I think he had it right, because there are vast multitudes of people today that are very hard to convince that they are totally depraved sinners. So the task of the preacher is twofold. First, he has to be faithful to the unchanging truth of God in all its riches, but he has to constantly bring it to bear on the changing state of the people and their always varied need. And right there you come to the third thing that's in this charge to Timothy. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Now that was even true, friends, in the apostolic church. How is it possible that the people in the church of Galatia, founded and grounded by the great apostle Paul himself, could so soon turn aside to another gospel? You would hardly believe it possible, but it happened. How is it possible that those Corinthian Christians, grounded in the faith by Paul the Apostle, the greatest teacher of them all, could turn against him and could become factional parties advocating others instead of this man who founded them in the faith? Well, the answer to that is what the Bible says about man's fallen nature. And until you really understand the depth of the sin in man's nature, you can never understand what the preacher's up against in his great calling. Jonathan Edwards was one of the greatest Reformed pastors in the history of this republic. I saw the place once where he ministered in Northampton, Massachusetts. He was used of God on a number of occasions to bring about a great awakening. Hearts were broken sinners were converted and saved. He was greatly blessed of God, not only in his local congregation, but throughout New England. And yet, would you believe it, a few years later, his own people, whom he had been instrumental in so greatly blessing, couldn't get rid of him fast enough. And they drove him out of that congregation that he had been such a blessing to. They wanted someone more pleasant to hear. They wanted someone who would tickle their ear and tell them fables instead of the truth. And that is just as true today, only multiply it by millions and you see what's gone wrong in America. There was a day in which in every village in this nation, almost, you could hear the true gospel, not anymore. And it isn't all the fault of the preachers. It's also the fault of the people who wanted to hear something that tickled their ear. I tell you this, people would rather hear fables than the truth. I would even go so far as to say that if you people were left to run on your own, you'd soon be like that. You would. You don't understand what's wrong with man until you see that. And that's what gives the pastor such fear and trembling in taking up this task, because you've got to fight against that every single day of your life. You are fighting tooth and nail for the salvation of those people who would rather hear fairy stories. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. So what do? Well, you just go right on preaching the word the way Jonathan Edwards did. And you do it faithfully regardless of that fact. And that is exactly what Paul mentions in the fourth place. For he says, therefore be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. Now, a watchful man is a man who is alert to all these problems. And I would say the mark of a faithful minister is, first of all, that he's never completely thrown off his feet by anything that happens. You learn after a while in the ministry not to be surprised at anything. The guy that looks like the greatest saint walking the earth may fall and never recover. You've got to be able to take a shock like that. It happens, folks. You have to be on guard, watchful, and ready when the crisis comes. Because one of the most certain things in a pastor's life is that a crisis soon will come. Not far off. And then when it does come, you've got to be ready to endure hardship and affliction. Well, I'll just give you one example out of my own experience. A number of years ago in our mission work in New England, we had two fine young men who were feeling called to the ministry, and they were studying for the ministry. And because of our unbiblical seminary system of training, they were at a distance from their church and their session. And we got wind of the fact that one of them had decided to go into a liberal denomination, and the other one was going to take an easier route because he thought Westminster Seminary would be too tough. Crisis, folks. What are you going to do? Well, it's not easy to get your session all piled in a car and drive hundreds of miles to confront those young men and face them with their responsibility and call them to their duty. But that's what we did. We went there and we convinced them and we rebuked them and we exhorted them. And in the end, they both listened. And we came back exhausted. But you've got to be prepared if you are in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that applies to all the elders of the Church of God who really are elders. You've got to be prepared to do that kind of thing. You've got to endure affliction to fulfill your ministry. But now, finally, let me tell you that there's also in this great charge a tremendous encouragement. Because after having said those things, Paul says, for I am already being poured out. You got to do these things, Timothy, because I am already being poured out. The time of my departure is at hand. And I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. And there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, and so on. Now, to me, that's one of the most encouraging things in the Bible. Dr. Machen, the great leader of our cause back in the 30s, once said, if he only had Jesus Christ as his example, he'd give up. He'd be the most discouraged man that ever lived, and he'd give up. I agree with that completely. Jesus Christ was a sinless man. I'm not. In addition to that, he was the Son of God. I'm not. But Paul the Apostle was, according to his own testimony, the biggest sinner on earth in his day. And look what God did with him. God took that man who was a Pharisee, an enemy of Christ, and turned him around and made him a great monument of his grace and a great servant of Christ in the ministry. And if he can do it with Paul and sustain him through all that man went through, then he can do it for me and he can do it for you. What a tremendous encouragement. I don't know about you, Sam, but I know for myself that I have more than once felt myself to be on the edge of the cliff of chucking it in, giving up, and doing something else. The ministry's like that. Sometimes it really gets to you. But I've always had the experience that I read about in the book of Jeremiah. We read there that he also got fed up to the teeth. People didn't listen. He got discouraged. And one day, in a fit of gloom, he said, I've had enough. I'm not going to say anything more. But then the Bible says the truth of God's word began to burn in his very bones. And he couldn't hold it in. He had to get up, and he had to go back at it again. I don't think a man is really called to preach unless he's got that in him. Because if you don't have it in you, you better quit early and forget it. If you do have it, then every time you're on the edge of that cliff, you're just about to make that foolish mistake, you're going to remember Jeremiah. And you're going to remember Paul the Apostle. And you're going to remember that you've got to fight the good fight and finish the race and keep the faith. And that if God can do it for him, he can do it for you. So I charge you with the words of the Apostle Paul. I say that ours is the highest calling in the world, bar none, and the greatest privilege granted to any mortal. And I say, blessed is the man who faithfully fulfills this calling. And I say to you, congregation, blessed is the congregation that values such a ministry. May God grant it here in Bethel Church. Amen.